He said he couldn't do it. So, well, it's good to be with you. It's always a joy to come back to Roanoke. I've got my stool because I have a little bit of a hip problem, and sometimes my back will start to spasm. So I told them just in case. I'd appreciate it if they had something. I'm pressing it. Something that would, there it is, that would be able for me to sit down if I get there. Let me, I found it interesting that, you know, I asked Brian what he's preaching on, series he was doing as in Nehemiah, and then I asked him about the building situation, and what hit me was several thousand years ago, there were two guys that were contemporaries. One was Nehemiah and one was Ezra. And they were trying to accomplish something that was very, very important. And even though we do a little bit of it today, the emphasis needs to be different, and that's what I want to talk to you about. Nehemiah and Ezra knew, under the covenant they had, there needed to be a place to go to meet with God. Now, it doesn't mean he didn't meet with them individually also. But as a nation, there was a temple and there was a city. And so these two men were used by God to say, we want to draw Israel back into an intimate relationship with Jehovah. That's very important. Now, thousands of years later, we live in a different situation, don't we? Where's the temple of God? Where? Anybody? Yeah. It's not here, right? This is a theater. It's not a former seafood place, is it? No, those are places where the temples of God get together and meet. And they're important. Believe me, I can tell you, having been on both sides of no building and having a building, it's always great to have a place that you can do things at anytime you want to. Okay? But what hit me was I was thinking, how could I best encourage the folks of Laman to keep the main thing, the main thing? And your pastor actually did part of that today. I don't know what he was talking about. I wasn't here. But I'll tell you what, folks, if we get sucked down into the arguments of this world, we're missing it. Because there isn't anyone in the world that you can elect that is going to fix the problems of a fallen creation. The real help has to come from Jesus Christ and God Almighty. But also, I've been through enough building programs that sometimes the body of Christ loses its focus as it's spending so much energy trying to get a building ready for use. And that's why I decided to pick this subject, intimacy with the Father. Because whatever you do trying to get Parker's ready, you got to hold on to as best you can, keep the best focus you can with the Holy Spirit. Lord God, keep us intimate with you, which will keep us intimate and unified with each other. Amen? Okay. What does it mean to be intimate? Now, these are just basic definitions out of different books, okay? Friendship, intrinsic, essential, marked by very close association. I don't know what your word is that comes to your mind, you know, to be close. Sad to say, the world's view of intimacy, I'm sad to say, is too much of a sexual realm. And that's why so many relationships are failing. Because a physical intimacy, although very precious and beautiful in God's eyes, in the right circumstance, will never bring the deepest intimacy that needs to happen. So I wanted to talk to you about it, but I need to say this. I realize, and this is where the disconnect comes, a lot of times when we talk about intimacy with the Father, some people's image of Father here is not good. I didn't know him. He beat me. He abused me. He was an addict. So it's hard because they go, you know, when I think of God the Father, and I put it together with my Father, they don't. And so what I try to emphasize is for you to put away anything bad about your earthly father. Don't bring that over to the heavenly Father and understand that when he talks about being intimate with you, he wants to have such a close connection that you basically, I mean, I don't know about you, but I almost cannot describe it. And I don't know about you, but I have my wilderness times. I have my desert times. But I also have those sweet, sweet fellowship worship times that I really can't put into words. When someone is intimate, they desire to connect and be close. Now, there's good news and bad news. The good news is what needs to happen is simple. And why do I say that? Because it's already been done. God has very clearly made it plain, okay, how he feels. Let's look at that. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. My frame was not hidden from you. You want to talk about someone that really knows you? When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. If you're frustrated about something on your body, okay? Like me, I'm frustrated that I have too much body, okay? But you know what? It's part of my genes. It's also part of my self-control. But even if I get my self-control under, I'm never going to be just a naturally skinny guy. And guess who I can talk to about that? I really can. I can go to him and say, Lord, I'm tired of buying bigger belts. You know, help me. So the Lord confides in those who fear him. See, what I love about God's intimacy is it's a two-way street. He confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. Now I pick up New Testament. Jesus Christ on his way to the week where he is going to be tortured to death, he looks over the city and he weeps and basically says, don't you get this, Jerusalem? Like a mother hen who protects her babes from the chicken hawks, I've put my wings out and asked you to come, and you won't. Again, same thing. Same exact day, just one author reported one thing, another author reported the other. And he said, Jerusalem, if you'd just known what you could have had today. That's an intimate desire that Jesus is showing. And this one I love because it really makes it really clear. This guy comes full of all of his pride and he says, I've kept all the law. What else do I lack to have eternal life? And just notice what it says. Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him. Now, what he said was not easy. And a lot of people would consider that not love, because in this age of health, wealth, and prosperity, all you got to do is claim it, and then God owes it to you. The problem is you won't find that in the book. And the guys that are preaching it, they're putting it in the white spaces because it's not in the words. Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, they all love us so much that they'll do what needs to be done to help us from blessing us to chastising us. Here's the bad news. Doing it is difficult. Why is it difficult? How many here have a cell phone? Okay. How many get irritated when you text somebody and they don't get back to you? How many here go to a restaurant and notice that they're all on their phones? Nobody's talking. I made fun of this one time in the Philippines, and the next day, one of the young men that I'm discipling said, boy, did my dad get us yesterday. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, right after your message, we went to lunch, and we were all sitting at the lunch table, and suddenly we all got a text from our dad who was sitting right across. What do you guys want to order? You know, our problem is we're used to instant gratification, okay? I mean, it used to be even that it took time to long-distance communicate. You'd sit down with a pen and a paper. And do you remember that? You younger people, this is called a letter, okay? Not an email, a letter. And you had time to think about what you wrote. What do we do now, though? Think about what we do. That's what we do. Do you know I have over 7,000 friends? 7,000. I know hardly any of them. A lot of them all have the same exact face. It's blue. Well, that's what we do. Now, look, I'm not against Facebook. I love Facebook. I post devotionals on Facebook. I've been using Facebook for 6-7 years. I've put out 800 and plus devos. And it's been exciting because I've had over 1 million reads of the devotionals, and it's over 34 different countries. So I think technology can be great. But there is a danger to this. Just because I say I like someone doesn't mean I'm really their friend, because I don't even know them. Hello. There you go. So I ask these questions. How do we stay close to them? It's not a complicated answer. The problem is it's not a method or a program. It has to be a lifestyle. Now, one of the things I do is I take words that are really important to me and I break them down into an acrostic. Like I've taken the word vision and it's acrostic. And that acrostic is basically my concept of when I say the word vision, this is what I'm thinking of. I've done it with the word direction. I got a whole thing in my file that I'd share with my disciples. These are the words that are important to me, and this is what they're conveying to me. And one of them was intimacy. I started working on this years ago. This is a message I've preached before, but it's just one that I think is so important. And I decided, okay, I'm going to take intimacy. And I'm careful. I go, now, Nate, you can't make a word just to make it fit. That's like lousy hermeneutics. So you have to make sure your acrostic makes sense biblically, and then you can use it. So I take the, I love it when it doesn't work. I think it's because I'm putting my finger in front of the hole that does that. Now, here's the problem. You're going to have a red letter for each head letter. You may not see it. I don't know. Can you see the red up there? Okay. If you can't, just know it. The I is red, the N is red, the T. It's spelling the word intimacy. So here's what I want you to walk out of today with. I need time in meditation acknowledging Christ. Why? Oh, see, he couldn't come up with a word for why. Well, no. I actually got stuck there, and I thought, Lord, maybe I can't do this. Maybe this word is not one I can do. Because I refuse to just make something up to make it sound okay. And then it was so funny. I was swimming laps. I do a lot of my messages when I'm swimming laps. It just helps me, I think. And as I swam, I thought, you know what? I don't think you need to come up with a word. And I'll show you why. I left it why. I, you. Not messages, not retreats, not church services. Nothing outside of yourself is going to bring you intimacy with the Father. I don't care how good the speaker is. It doesn't matter. You are the person that has to develop the intimacy. Nobody can do it for you. And that's what makes it hard. Because our flesh, just read Galatians 2, our flesh fights the whole way. It doesn't want to be intimate with the Father. Why? Because then you will do what the Father wants, but your flesh wants to do what it wants to do. The scripture calls it hostile towards God. I, a conscious decision. Joshua, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves. And what does he go on to say? I don't know about you, but for me and my house, we're going to follow the Lord. So it has to be your choice. Brian talked about it today as we were praying. Are you willing to open yourself up? Need. I need. What? This is not an option. This isn't I desire. Folks, this is, do you put this down in your heart as, this is something I desperately need. One thing I've asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. You know, I really dislike, and I know Brian can tell you this because I was his pastor, I hate legalism. I mean, I really do. I think it's from the pit of hell. And I've never desired people to come to church on Sundays because they feel it's a burden that they have to do. What I want is I want people to realize my quiet time with God and my corporate time with the body Beloved, we are put on this earth to be in community. Now, if you get kidnapped and stuck in a cell by yourself, then it's okay to be alone and have church by yourself, because God will meet with you. But that's not the norm. And God wants you to need the body and need Him. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. Now this is me. I'm Mr. Go, Go, Go. And God has had to say, Nate, what? Stop doing and start being. Martha, you worry about so much. But Mary has desired what is most important. Now this next thing is one of the best things that I've done in my life. As I started to think about time, I came to another decision. I'll explain it. I need time. Why? It is the greatest and hardest sacrifice. Why? Because you can always make more money. You can always make more money. I drove around yesterday, and I went all the way back to 1987 when I first got here. First got here. I had hair on my head. Not on my back like it is now. Hair. I had less skin. I drive around, I'm looking, I'm going, you know, there's a lot of things, even as pastor of Ghent, I'd do differently now. I mean, I don't think I made any critical mistakes, but I look back and I go, there's some things you could have done better. And you know what? You don't get those back. I got three kids, and I'm on my way to 10 grandkids. I got eight right now, but two are in the oven. Okay? My eldest son is going to get his seventh, and my youngest son is going to get his third. And I look back at my children, and I love them, and I don't think I made any critical mistake with my kids. But, man, I know I yelled. And if I could go back, I would not yell. I'd say, son, come here. Sit down. No, sit down. Because if you don't sit down, you're going to lay down in a coffin. So sit down. You know. But I just wish I could have just kept that. Because I'm a very passionate person, and so it's, hey! And that doesn't do good for kids. I need time. Time is the most precious thing you have. What does Jesus say? Don't worry then, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear, clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom. Seek first His kingdom. Notice what He says. And then all these things shall be added to you. Not the things you desire, the things you need. God promises to take care of that. So, for me, I had to get to this, to do or not to do. And this is one of the best things I ever did. Instead of making a to-do list, I started making a stop-do list. You need to stop doing this. Why? Because it's not that important right now. You need to stop. You just can't do it all, dummy. So make a stop-do list. What's cramming your life right now? That if you're really gut honest, I really don't need to do that. Okay. That's sorry. I need time in. And that's just being, not doing. In. It's a state of being. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there's one God, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. In. Meditation. This is a very important word. I need time in meditation. That means slowing your life down enough to think and contemplate. And here's our problem, folks. If we dedicate time to something and there's no obvious production, we think it's time wasted. And you won't find that with Jesus Christ. He took a lot of time to get alone with the Father. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you on the night watches. For you have been my help. And I, in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. There's nothing mystical about meditation. You're not sitting in a weird position going, yummy, 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 yummy. That's not meditation. That's sitting in a weird position going, yummy, 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 yummy. Meditation is re-chewing information. who is God? What has He done for me? Have I counted my Jordan stones lately? Have I noticed the things that God has done in my life? Not just given me, but done in me. Very important. Genesis, Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening. He took time. It's going to cost you. I need time in meditation. What? Acknowledging. That means you're going to sit consciously and acknowledge God's rights and His authority and the status of your life. Surely the righteous will give thanks to your name. The upright will dwell in your presence. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. This is not a salvation verse. Be careful. Jesus was talking to saved disciples. What He's telling me is, you want to have good fellowship and good communion with me? You need to keep my commandments. Because if you disobey me, you and I are going to not have good friendship. You're always going to be my child. Relationship is based on grace that Christ accomplished alone without anything from us. And once you're in that grace, you remain in that grace. But if you start off the path, and I have at times, let me tell you, if you stay on that path happily, you need to back up and say, did I ever get converted? Because I know God won't drop me. So if I just can go sin and don't care, maybe I really didn't believe. And there's nothing wrong with checking that. Peter said to, Paul said to, Jesus said to. But on the other hand, if you're having problems being obedient and you wonder, why is my life so miserable? Why is my wife so miserable? That's good. Dee Dee would like that one. Anyway, my wife's at Maryland right now. She had some big church activity going on, so she couldn't come. But why is my life so miserable? If it's miserable, it's because you're out of fellowship. You're never going to feel good out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It just, you're not reborn to live like that. That's the whole point of regeneration. I need time in meditation acknowledging Christ. Not ministry, not numbers. Folks, please, and I'm begging you. When you get that fish place turned into a fisher of men place, don't think you've arrived. It's just the beginning. Praise God. It's just the beginning. Soon there'll be fishermen of restaurants, churches all over the Roanoke Valley, maybe. Because you guys become so contagious that people want what you have. Isn't that what Peter says? Be ready to give an answer for what people ask you? No. For the hope that is in you. What? They see it. They see the hope. And that doesn't mean you break your arm and you do this dumb, oh, praise Jesus, I broke my arm. That's a fake Christianity. But they see you break your arm and it ruined your vacation. And they see you instead of whining, why is this always happening to me? You say, yeah, this is really a bummer. But, you know, I've been learning some things and I actually got to talk to a nurse about Jesus Christ. Why? Because I see my God in everything that happens to me. Now check this. Even my sin. Folks, if He didn't want you to sin, He could drop you with a thought. He's not impotent. Does He want me to sin? No. But He obviously allowed you to. Because He could have stopped you many ways. One is just kill you. I need to acknowledge that Christ is the center. Again, your pastor this morning said it very clearly because he was warning. The church of Jesus Christ in America right now is splitting along political lines. How stupid! Playing right into the plan of the enemy. There isn't a guy out there or a woman out there running that's going to fix our country. Now be a good citizen. Follow your convictions. But don't divide over that nonsense. You need to reach out to your brothers and sisters and say, hey, you vote who you want to, I'll vote. But we're one in Christ. And nothing can split that. And Satan has just continued through the history of America to bring up other issues to split the church. But they're never issues that are really essential in God's eyes. Because what's essential in God's eyes is, who's number one in your life? You foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you? You just read it. I'll tell you what he says. You began in the Spirit. Why? You knew you could not get saved through works. You had to come by faith because of the grace of God. But now you think you can perfect yourself in the flesh. You think if you get busy enough, you'll become more Christ-like. No. You know, one of the prayers that the band made today, which I appreciated, they prayed that they would also listen as they sang. And that's important. We're not up here performing. We're up here prompting. We want to bring the body in, but we also want to be part of that and connect with God. I need time in meditation acknowledging Christ. Why? It wasn't because I couldn't come up with a word. It's because the Holy Spirit had a plan. He's helping me develop this. It wasn't inspired. It's not God-breathed. He uses my brain, which is really difficult in my view for God to use my brain, but he does. And I thought, I don't need a word for why. Why? Why? Because without intimacy, I'm developing a religion. And that's exactly what goes on. We move from Christianity to churchianity. And you know what happens? Just look at this valley. Look how many church buildings there are that have 10 people coming to them. Or that are closing. And you know why? Because people don't really get anything out of religion. And they take it for a while and then they burn out. They want a vivid relationship, a lively relationship with a living God. So when I think of intimacy for Nathan Lee, it's, I need time. Okay, Nate, you need time. In meditation. That means you're going to have to put some time away. Acknowledging Christ. Where is he in my life? Have I put him in the drawer somewhere? But the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and of the platter. But inside of you, you are full of robbery and wickedness. You foolish ones. Did not he who made the outside make the inside also? You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish. They were as religious as you could get, yet they crucified the author of life. I leave you with these thoughts. We do this at the small group churches that I preach at. We have a time called Discovery Questions. Are there ways that you can see that God is seeking to be intimate with you? Why is it dangerous to take intimacy for granted? If you're married, you know that answer. Okay? If you're married, you know that. If you just assume your spouse is going to be close to you and love you, you're going to end up in a bad marriage. By the way, which when I taught in the Philippines at marriage seminars, I taught people that I did believe in purgatory. Because purgatory is that you suffer for a while and then you go to heaven. So for me, purgatory is a bad marriage. Because you suffer for a while and then you go to heaven. Who wants to live in purgatory? No. You can't take intimacy for granted. Hello. They're moving slow. Why do you think God desires intimacy? He doesn't need it. God is not needy. Is that it? I had five, but that's okay. How much time of your day is set aside for you, just you and God? And I won't even go to the next one because I know what they are. Do you ever have a date night with God? Have you ever had a date night with God? Even if you're married, say, hey, honey, what? I'm gonna just chill out in the backyard alone with the Lord right now tonight. And then here's the bigger one. And I used to do this when I pastored at Ghent Grace Brethren Church. My wife freed me one day a month I would drive down to D.C. I'd leave at 4:30 in the morning. I'd get down there with my Bible, and I'd spend the whole day down there walking and praying, and then come back. I took a day out with God. Now, I understand I was a pastor. You might not be able to do it every month, but I bet you could do it twice a year if you really wanted to. If you really wanted to, you could set aside that day and say, I'm going to spend the entire day just me and the Lord talking and reading, listening to Christian music. Folks, don't let the enemy snatch the victory that you've started with this building program. Okay? You're going to have a great time doing it together if you stay intimate with God and intimate with each other. But intimacy does not just happen. So my acrostic is mine. It's not inspired. Mine is, I need time in meditation acknowledging Christ. Because, why? Otherwise I'm doing a religion. But whatever your definition is that comes from the Bible, let it flow into you and keep it there as you go through this process of moving into a building. Because then when you all go in, it's going to be a powerhouse when you meet. Because it won't just be a nice fixed up building. It's going to be a bunch of temples who've stayed close and connected to their Father. Let me pray with you. Father, I want to thank you again for this group and thank you for their